Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to Cooking Your Way Through Life.
Today's episode is Cooking Your Way Through Connection. And today's culinary side of things is what connected you from your childhood to what you cook now?
Cooking Your Way Through Life is a podcast combining knowledge of the kitchen and applying it to real life situations. This podcast is all about understanding techniques to make things you already know even better. Topics from traveling on a budget, setting and achieving short and long-term goals, and of course, cooking.
On today's episode, I wanted to go into the question of what is a connection? Is there a difference between a personal romantic connection and your friendship connections? And what about digital connections? What about all these online activity? I also wanted to talk about my grandparents because they gave me the food connection that I have today to become the chef that I am today. So let's get started.
Please welcome Chef Hollywood.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Cooking Way Through Life with me, Chef Hollywood. And today I want to dive into connections. Connection in general is such a unique word. And I think that now we look at it in so many different ways. So I wanted to kind of talk about the connections we have with our loved one, the connection that we have with our friends that's different sometimes, of course, than with our family members. Also about the connections that I have cultivated across the world, being a chef and traveling and really just understanding that we're all connected through food, no matter what language you speak, no matter where you're from. You know, I also wanted to kind of tie this episode in with the culinary side of things, talking about the connection that I have with my childhood and how I became a chef. And I get this question a lot, but I think this is like the perfect time to talk about it because it's the holiday season. It does really come from the connection I have with my grandparents. And I really just kind of, I didn't know that I wanted to be a chef per se, but I just knew that I wanted to create the connections that my grandparents created, not only with me, but with my entire family. So I get into that a little bit later, but I'll jump right into it. Talking about, like the connections. I think the first one that comes to people's mind is the first one that we're going to talk about, you know, the elephant in the room. What is a connection when it comes to a personal connection with someone you love, you know? And what does that look like? What does that feel like? What do you want out of that connection? And I think that's something that each of us uniquely finds eventually. And I think it changes depending on like where you are in your life, because I feel like the connections I'm looking for now in a relationship are different than the connections that I was looking for previously in a relationship. And nothing wrong with that because I'm in a different space. I'm a different place in my life now than I was previously. But like right now, I feel like a connection I have with somebody that I love, you know, it's like, it's about feeling vulnerable, but also valued and seen. You know, it's the kind of connection where you can, you know, take your armor off. Like, I don't want to be in a situation where I have a connection with somebody that I love that I feel like I have to hold back. I think dating in my 30s has really taught me that I want you to like me for me or don't like me for me. But either way, I want to be me. You know, I definitely can speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else, but I can speak for myself in saying that I definitely, in my 20s, when I was dating people, I would maybe, and not even maybe, my friends would tell you, I definitely would be the person that the other person wanted me to be a lot more. And I'm not saying compromise is not good. Like, I think compromise shows respect. Because I feel like if you can compromise in a way that is healthy for both parties, then it is like a sign of respect and mutual love and respect there. But I used to just be like, oh, yeah, you like this? Me too. Or like, you know, like I talked about this on the Crush episode, which is still one of the biggest episodes. I think people, you know what? I don't know if it's the biggest episode because it was so early on and people listened to the episode and they were just like, this guy's crazy. I'm not listening to any more episodes. Or it's just one of those that just resonates with people so much. I'm not sure. But yeah, even after the Crush side of things, like I think even in some of my earlier relationships, I definitely leaned into wanting to not only just make the other person happy or like appease them, but I also was just like trying to make the connection work, even if it didn't work for me. And I think at the end of the day, if you're working so hard to please the person you're quote unquote in love with or in a relationship with, but it doesn't make you happy, then ultimately it's not going to work because you're also like, you both of you need to be happy and the connection needs to be mutual. Whatever that mutual agreement is, like it has to be mutually beneficial. I think that's the best way to say it, in my opinion, respectfully. So I think that's like the biggest part. But like I say, I think it changes because I'm not the same person I was. And I'm not looking for the same things I was looking for. So it's definitely different now. My lifestyle is different. I travel a lot more. I'm literally recording this podcast as I'm on a ship right now. You know, the way that I structure my life is just, it's not for the faint of heart. So, you know, but also it doesn't change the fact that we all want to be seen and heard and valued. So I think that's, you know, just a human thing we want. I think the second side of this, though, the flip side of this, which sometimes have overlap, is a connection that you have with a friend or a family member. Because sometimes that connection is even stronger in different ways, you know, because family members, for instance, that's built on time. Friendships all have different times on them. Like some of my best friends I haven't actually known as long as some of my friends that I just consider really good friends, you know, but I think with family, it's automatic. Like, of course, I guess I could say, you know, it's funny. I was going to say, you know, your family, but it's not really true because my cousin Jeremy and me didn't meet since I was in high school. Of course, he was my cousin my entire life, but I just didn't meet him. So that might be true for a lot of us as well. But what I was going to say with that is that built on time, I think it's definitely leaning more towards family bonds. But I don't think you should focus on time when it comes to friendship, because working on ships also has taught me that, like, it doesn't, me and you are not stronger friends because we've known each other for 5 years. We can know each other for 5 years, but never really cultivate that friendship. And okay, we've been friends for 5 years, but like, I might not be as close to you as I am with someone I just met last year because we've been cultivating that friendship over the last year. So I think it's like, it's built on time, trust, shared experiences. And if you know me, like, mine are always built on laughter. Laughter is like the ultimate way to like befriend me in general. Like, if we can laugh together, we probably can hang out. And I'm a vibe person, like a completely, like, I don't care who it is. I don't, like, if we don't vibe, we don't vibe. That don't mean that like there's anything wrong. It's just, I don't like to force anything. Like, I'm a person that it takes me a while to walk away from situations that might not benefit me. So what I try to do on the opposite side of that is I try to make sure I don't even put myself in situations that I like don't really gel or vibe with. And a lot of times that comes from observing. If you talk to a lot of my friends that I am really good friends with, my best friends and stuff, like, they'll probably tell you, and I know one of them will for sure, Abby will tell you that, like, I'm very, like, the first time you meet me, maybe even second time, like, I'm very observant, I'm very quiet, people think I'm very shy, and then, like, if you know me, then it's different me, because it's, like, I can be comfortable and everything. So I think, like, that laughter plays a huge part in everything. But the contrast between the two, like a personal connection and a friendship, it is a little different, you know, because I think also when it comes to family and friends, we can be vulnerable, but you also don't have the same pressure or that looming feel. that one day this might end, you know, because like friendships and family don't have the same expiration date in our head that relationships have sometimes, you know, like you can be dating somebody this year and then next year you're not dating them. So you opened up and you have this connection with them. And not that that time isn't useful or meaningful, but now if you want to date somebody else, you have to, you know, have that connection or restart that connection or create that connection with the next person. Versus your friends and your family, we kind of put them in the category of people that's going to be with us for life. So I think that's why like friendship breakups hurt worse sometimes than a breakup of a romantic breakup, because I value my friends at such high levels. Like I have people in my life that like don't treat friendship the same way I treat friendship. I've dated people that don't treat friendship the same way I treat friendship. Not saying my way is better, their way is bad or whatever, but like I just think that if you have friends that like are really good friends and like really like you just don't, it will hurt. It will hurt a lot. You know what I mean? So like, I think we just put that in the category. At least I do. Maybe it differ. You know, y'all let me know. Moving into today's culinary element, because, you know, we jumped right into the deep end with that one. I think that I jumped into what comes to mind when you say connection, and maybe it wasn't for you. And if it wasn't, then let me know in the comments too. But for the culinary side of things, I thought this would be perfect time to bring in the connection of food in a way that I get this question a lot and like how I got into cooking. So speaking of connection, because that's what we're talking about today, some of my earliest ones come through food. And it's actually why I became a chef, but I didn't realize it until later on. So when I tell the story sometimes, like I feel like sometimes it come off as not genuine, but it was one of those things where like I worked through it and I realized it at the same time I would start telling people about it. So I don't know about anyone else out there, but I grew up in Georgia. I grew up in Monroe, Georgia. And so small town, about 10 miles from Athens. So if you know football, UGA, like UGA, go Dogs. And one of the things we used to do all the time was have Sunday dinner at my grandparents' house. And for me, I mean, I talk about it now so much, but like at the time I was in awe of my grandpa, especially like my granddad. He was like the ringleader of this crazy circus called my family, you know, and my uncles used to cook on the grill. And it was just one of those things where just like everybody was there. And between my dad and my granddad and my uncles and all the guys cooking, I just felt like, oh, my God, like this is like a show. Because as a kid, I mean, I was playing, but I also was the youngest of all my cousins on that side of my family. So I would play, but a lot of them would play stuff like I would have to play at an advanced level. Like they were all older than me. So I was in awe of this show going on over here with this fire. And because I'm like, I'm not even 10, you know, so I'm just like fire, excitement. What's that? So I think I just got really caught up in that and being outside around the grill, watching this, what I felt like was magic. It was the jokes. It was like the seasonings, the smoke in the air. And I think it goes back to like with me, with my friendship connections, I say laughter so big to me. I think laughing, like it just reminds me of like my childhood and like, you know, the happy times. And I really feel like the connection that my family had at that time in my life was so strong and so powerful. And it was so magical. And we lost it. And I don't know how we lost it, but I think we lost it because my grandmother died. And, you know, like, I feel like now I understand a lot better as an adult how one person can change things. Because in a lot of my friend groups, I am the person that organizes things, you know. And it's not that my friends don't love each other, don't care about each other or anything. It's just like you need that one person to initiate and to organize and get everything going. And I think that's who my grandmother was for my family. And when she passed away, no one stepped in to fill that void. And so we were still doing it for a while. I think my Aunt Davida did a lot of work to keep it going, but it was just something about when grandma did it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just something about it. And then I was a kid, so I don't know. You know, I don't know all the ins and outs of everything, but I just know that, like, it was so magical, and then it wasn't. But I say all that to say that the connection to my family and to the food introduced me into being a chef now. And I didn't know it then, but those Sundays taught me the power connection through food, because it was times where my family was not getting along. It was times where, like, I could tell, even as a kid, like, you know, the tension was in the air, but we all came together. And I think that's another thing about, like, my grandma being alive, because you're going to be there for my grandma. But, like, food just brought everybody together. And I know this might sound, you know what's so crazy? I realized the other day, because, you know, guys listen to this on YouTube. Now, on YouTube, I have a lot of people that have been messaging me and talking to me. And I didn't realize how diverse my audience is with my podcast and YouTube and stuff. But, like, I'm 37. I was born in 1988. And one thing I'll say is, you, if you're listening to this and you're under 30, you're probably just like, this is just like whatever. But you have to take into account that I didn't have a cell phone. We didn't have the internet. There was no way to talk to your cousins, like texting and stuff throughout the week. So, like, getting together on the Sunday was amazing. It's like you get to catch up with people. Like, you don't, it, right now, all the news cycles are like popcorn. You know, if I go to Twitter or X or whatever it's called, it's like there's probably 16 celebrities in the last hour that did something that is quote unquote, what happened? You know, like, there's times where, y'all, I thought Cardi B died one time because it was this whole story about her wearing this coat. And the way that the story was going around, I thought she died, because it was just like, why are y'all posting this? It's like, it's a coat, you know, like, it's a coat. But it's like, that kind of stuff is crazy to me, because it's just like, I mean, it's not, I get it. It sells, it's clicks, it's likes. But when you, as a millennial, it's like, we were on the other side of it and we see this side. So it's just like, when you think about your childhood as millennial, it's just like, that would have not been amazing in the past. Like, you're basically clapping for the fish that swims. You know, like, to make it as a celebrity or, like, be a big story back in the day, it had to be an actual big story, because it had to come out in a magazine that was going to come out the next week, sometimes monthly. It would have to do a run cycle on the news with actual journalists who are not biased. And even if they were biased, they still going to get their opinion. Like, it would just have to be a lot of work to be an actual celebrity to make news like that. And so now, I know in this culture, and I'm not getting off topic, y'all, but I am. But I know in this culture about, like, everybody's a celebrity. But I think that's why, because everybody feels like they can be a celebrity because we're doing it that way. But when it comes back to connection, because, yeah, see, I brought it back. Comes back to connection. I say all that to say, the connection that I had growing up as a kid around food and going to my grandma's house on Sunday was magical, because it wasn't something that we could do, and it wasn't something that we had access to at any time like you do now. And not that it's not magical now, it's just now you have to take the time to breathe and say, man, I'm so thankful to have my grandparents. Some people don't have their grandparents. My grandmother and my grandfather I'm talking about in this episode both have passed. And so, you know, when I work on cruise ships and I talk to people all the time, that's just like, they're older, of course, they're older than me. And it's just like, I don't have pictures of me and my grandmother cooking in the kitchen. I don't have pictures of me and my grandfather grilling out. I would love to, just to have those memories. But, like, even that is something that's magical or special back in the day, because all the pictures we had were on purpose. We took pictures. Me and my little brother would, like, even the past, like, I would say 10 years, it would be like, because my mom, all she does is she wants pictures. And me and my little brother be like, oh my God, she wants so many pictures. But now I get it, because my mom is at that age and on that side of things where all of her life until, like, the past, I would say 10, 15 years, the pictures were done if it was a special occasion. It wasn't like, selfies are not that old, guys. Like, you know what I mean? So that power connection is very strong. And I think we should take time to really bask in it, because we just don't want to get lost, you know, or take it for granted. Sorry, I went off track there just a little bit, but y'all know, we just talk here. It's, you know, let's transition back into the other side of things, though, topic of today. And I'll say, too, like, this is also, I was talking about this earlier, but as I get older, connections start to mean something deeper for me. And one of the things, like, just jumping right out the back of my grandpa and grilling, is that, like, connection as a chef and a traveler and a human now, like at 37, means so much more to me. I'm very, very fortunate and blessed that I get to do what I do. I am a traveling culinary instructor. I have my personal chef business that I run, and I can do my YouTube and this and everything else. But I really do it from a place of passion, because I understand and I feel like food connects us globally, because we all eat. I don't care what you believe in. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care what country, what city, what place you're from. You all eat. We all eat. Somebody listening to this right now might not speak English, but they eat food, and it can be translated into whatever language they speak, but they eat food. And a lot of things, like, we have so much more in common than we have apart. You could live in Bangladesh and you still had grandparents. Like, you might have had the same kind of story that I just had about why I became a chef, because you have grandparents, you eat. So, like, traveling makes me appreciate cultures through the gastronomy of these different places. But it also, like, the connection that I get traveling solo is also amazing, because sitting at a table with strangers is still connection. And when you meet people, it's like a connection, because I've always met people on my solo trips, which I love to take solo trips, that are also passionate about traveling the same way I am. So that connection is already there. And then we just meet each other, because I tell people all the time, like, traveling for me is an actual passion. I love to travel, and it's not the posts on Instagram. If anything, and my friends can attest for this right now, the more I travel and the older I get, the less I post. And the more people that get mad at me because they say I don't post enough. But, like, I do it for me. I do it because I enjoy it. I feel connected to the world because I feel like food is universal in these different places. And I love going to Southeast Asia and understanding how the flavor profiles of things are so similar to, you know, the Caribbean and Trinidad and Tobago, where some of my family are descendants from, but also yet different. And then tapping into the local cuisine, the local ingredients, and, like, changing it to that way. And then you go somewhere like Norway, and then you'll see something like allspice and be like, oh my God, like, this is also from, like, this is also something you use in the Caribbean. Why are you using it up here? So it's like, it's just these little connections, or, like, understanding how the tomato comes from South America and Central America, but then, like, it's a part of the culture in Italy, but it wasn't actually originally there. You know, those kind of things are what I look for, and what I, like, I don't even say look for, but, like, that's what intrigues me when I travel. So it's like the connection that I have to the world as a chef and a traveler and a human now are amplified by the things I've gone through, and, like, what I look, how I view the world now, you know. And I think that it's a reason why I love to travel. But, like, I tell people all the time, like, don't travel for other people. Travel for yourself. And don't even travel like I travel. If you don't want to travel the world, eating your way through the world, like, it's not going to intrigue you the same way. I literally started my whole, like, digital brand of cooking your way through life, because I feel like that's what I do. I cook my way through life. I eat my way through life. I like, my life is surrounded around that in some way. My tattoo is a perfect example of that. It's a chef knife, but it's a puzzle piece because that's part of me, but it's not all of me, you know? I think the other thing, though, outside of that, is the connection that we have with digital spaces. Because I touched on this a little bit earlier, but online has changed. And as a millennial, say that word a lot this episode, but as a millennial, I do come from the world of before and after internet. and how it was a big boom, and social media as well. You know, I had a Black Planet. I had a MySpace. I don't even know. I was a Costaholic in high school on MySpace, where you had a top eight. You didn't even have to question if you and your friends were tight, because who's in your top eight? I know who your top eight friends are. Oh, your top eight changed? Y'all must have had fallen out. Y'all don't even know that life, or you don't know that life. But like, it does get to the point now where it's just like, is the digital connection the same as a personal connection? Is it real or illusion, you know? And we do feel connected online, but I don't want to be that person, but sometimes it's very surface level, you know? Social media gives us followers, but it is not always relationships. Connection requires presence and effort and like just being true to who you really are and being authentic. And a lot of times that is not what happens online. Like, it's the opposite. People are a version of themselves, you know? So how can you have a connection with somebody who's not being real, you know? It's a reminder to nurture those real bonds, like we were talking about earlier, not rely on just the digital ones, because the digital ones can give you false sense of connection sometimes. And I'm not saying that all digital connections are bad, because like, the one thing that I love about social media is that for me, especially as a traveler and having friends all around the world, it keeps me connected, and I build those friendships and keep cultivating them. But I think it does take work, and I think that's the other side of it. On the bad side of it, we were talking about celebrities earlier too, I think it gives people a false sense of access to people, you know? Like, the one great thing of real celebrity when I was a kid is that like, you didn't have access to these celebrities the same way. So you didn't even have the false hope that you know this person. You know, nowadays you'll have people online arguing over a celebrity's life who they've never met, more like they know them, like they're in the circle, like they hit, like, you know. And it'd be so funny to me, because if you take a moment and you just be like, but you don't even know me and I'm not a celebrity, so how could you think? Yeah, so it gives you false hope, you know. I think our last mega celebrities might have ended, you don't know, like, when did Young Money come out? When did Nicki and Drake? Whenever Nicki and Drake them came out, that might have been the last era of superstar celebrity level on the music standpoint. We were talking about music earlier, because I don't know if it ever happened again, because it's just inflated. And I think that goes into the digital connection, where like, people strive for the followers and likes, but like, that is perfectly fine if you also have a full circle moment within your life. But that can't be all, unless you're cultivating those moments with that. Like, you got 5,000 followers. Are you talking to all 5,000 people? Are you cultivating relationships with all 5,000 people? Like, that's the difference, you know? And on the other side of that too, I like to say, stop downing yourself if you have small amounts of anything. When you think about it, if you walk into a room tomorrow of 100 people and you say something that you feel like, if you speak in front of 100 people tomorrow and 5 people say, oh my God, that was really good, bro, like, that's a lot, you know? Like, and when you're in real life, that's a lot. It's just like, you just said something and somebody's like, oh, that's really good, I relate to that, oh my God, you know? Or if all 100 of those people clap for you. Nowadays, it's like, oh, you only got 100 likes on that picture? It's just like, it's an inflated way to think. But I think, as a millennial, once again, it's like, it's nice because we get both sides. We kind of understand it. But I don't know if the generation below us kind of understand that grasp of things. We're just like, I don't get discouraged by that, because, well, one, you got real friends and stuff to talk to. But two, there's still a lot of people, you know. All right, let's jump back into the culinary side of things, because don't want to like take anything away from my granddad. But I said it's about my grandparents and my grandma. My grandmother also was like a big part of the connection of food with me, and gives that the nostalgia of even talking about my grandma is crazy. Because if like the grill was my first connection to cooking, the kitchen was my second, and I was in the kitchen with my grandma. Y'all went in the gym. I was like, you know, like back in the day, like, you, if your grandma let you in the kitchen, Oh man, like you definitely like favorite grandchild. So I was helping with cakes, you know, with desserts, prepping ingredients, you know, like, and it get, you know, like it gives you like a sense of like feeling trusted. And I just met my grandma like encouraging me to like help do stuff. I remember so vividly, and I had this conversation with somebody that I work with recently about figs. My grandmother had plum trees, a fig tree, and like we were just talking about fruit, and I was like, you know what's so crazy? I have not had a plum in years. Like I've never gone to the store and bought a plum and just like, this plum is good. Like, and shout out to plums, they are good, but like I just haven't. But as a kid, I would pick plums, I would eat plums, like it'd be like nothing. And then also figs, like I never realized how expensive figs and pecans were until I was older, because my grandma also had a pecan tree. So it's just like, you got, like, I don't have to go buy them, you know? And my grandma would always make fig preserves. And that's the thing, like, my grandmother's fig preserves were so freaking delicious. And I remember one time in college, I don't know what it was, but I wanted some fig preserves. I think I might just been missing my grandma. Man, as a broke college kid, you know how much they charge for fig preserves that's really bad. Let me say, I don't know if they're better now, but like really bad at the time. I was like, I can't afford fig preserves. What was my grandma doing? She should have been rich. She should have been selling that. But yeah, like all that kind of stuff, don't take it for granted, man. Like spend time with your grandparents. Like, man, like, yeah, that connection with my grandma being in the kitchen and just understanding like the love language of food and how she used to pour her heart and soul into those dishes. And once again, like on the Sundays or whenever the family come by, like you come for my grandma's cakes, you come for my grandma, like whatever my grandma cooking, you come for that. Like you strive to make the food like my grandma. And I think it's just like, it's just crazy. I'm just like thinking about my grandma right now. But I would say that the thing about it is that feeling is the same feeling that I want to exude when I cook for other people. So it has not been lost on me that I've taken the two things that my grandmother and my grandpa installed in me from cooking and doing Sunday dinners. And that's like how I want to present it to the world. And I kind of do that now, ultimately at work, like as a culinary instructor, I am like the ringleader of the circus. Like I'm teaching and I'm like on the microphone and holding court. But then like, as we're cooking, I want to approach it in a way that like my grandma and like invite you in, like you're in my kitchen for the day. And now it's your kitchen too. And I trust you to do what you need to do. But, you know, we're learning patience and technique and love through all these like these tasks that we're doing in classes. And also on my YouTube channel, like same way, like I'm coming from a place of love, like not a place of I'm a chef. You're not. You listen to me. Don't, you know, do this. It's like if this helps you, then that's fine. If it doesn't, then that's fine too. But I hope that it does, you know. And those connections have really made me the chef I am today. Before I even knew that I wanted to be a chef, which is so crazy because that's a thing. Because like if people know me like in real life, once again, like you know me, I went to school to be a computer scientist. I actually was going to school for forensic science at first, but that's a whole nother story we'll get into if I have. I think I already told it, but like that's a whole nother story. But yeah, like I didn't go to school for culinary arts at first. I went back and got my culinary arts degree and did all the work. But like, no, it was not what I set out to do because I never looked at it as a career. And when I started thinking about a career, it's kind of like love, right? It's like you have this idea of what love is and then you fight it because what you find isn't exactly what your idea was. So you just fight it. It's just like, this isn't what I had in my head. This isn't what I wanted. So like, this ain't it. But then you realize like, but this is making me happy and this is amazing. So maybe this is love. And I think that's exactly what happened with my career. Like I was like, computer science, this is a legitimate career. It makes X amount of money. I need that. I come from very like humble beginnings, you know, like And then when I started doing it, I was like, this isn't make me happy. Does money equate to me being unhappy for the rest of my life? Like, am I going to be doing this, this, and this? Like, it was just so much of that. And it just became a whole thing. So yeah, I think I fell into being a chef and I love that. But it also is like something that's just like, you never know. Whew. All right, guys. So today was a whirlwind. Sorry I got off topic, but also not sorry, because sometimes, you know, that'd be the best one. So hope y'all enjoy it. I want to wrap it up by saying that I feel like connection can go a lot of different ways. And it's very important to nurture your real connections. I encourage all y'all to reconnect with someone if you haven't. Like, if you feel like you haven't been reaching out as much, or like you haven't been connected, like, reconnect, man. Especially around the holidays. It's just one of those things where it's just like, it's a good time to reach out. People need people. And sometimes you don't know, like, who needs you. And like how much you're reaching out can really help somebody. Food is universal for a connection in my world. So like at the end of the day, use food, man. Let food use you. yeah. And I hope that we are connected. Like I was saying, digital connections sometimes are not as strong, but that doesn't always equate. Like, you know, like it all comes down to the work you put in. So I do want to be connected to my listeners, meaning that like, if you hit me up on Instagram or anything on YouTube, like I like we can have conversations. I put questions in my podcast for reasons. I do want to have like actual communication with you guys. So that is something that I work on as well. But yeah, man, I hope that you're connected to the loved ones in your life. And I hope that we all stay connected. So happy holidays, whatever you're celebrating. And thank you for listening. Once again, I hope that you have already gone over to YouTube to Cook Your Way Through Life and liked, subscribed, and shared. I have episodes coming out weekly. We had a full, like, Cook Your Way Through Life TV show part, or the recipe that comes out on Mondays. And then on Wednesday, we have the chef tips and tricks. And then on Saturdays, we have the behind the scenes. And so you get to know me a little bit better. And then Thursday drops the podcast, which you listen to right now, which you also can listen to on YouTube. So yeah, appreciate all you. Have a good day. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Cooking Your Way Through Life with Chef Hollywood.